BBC Radio Norfolk through the morning with Kayleigh. Now, a charity claims that many doctors don't know how to spot one of the deadliest forms of cancer. I'm talking about pancreatic cancer. In the UK, almost 9,500 people are diagnosed with it every year, and around 9,000 of those die. The Pancreatic Cancer Action Charity says 6 out of 10 GPs initially dismiss their patients' symptoms as being nothing to worry about. Well, Ralph Williams from North Wharton near King's Lynn died from the disease 2 years ago. His widow, Julie, has been talking to us, and she says the diagnosis came far too late.
An abscess appeared out of nowhere on the back of his neck, which for 2 years had been there as just a small lump that we didn't realise was anything untoward. It's a pain in his shoulder, which he decided was down to being injured on the London Tube bombing and therefore must just be arthritic. To having a niggling pain in his side that he thought was just, you know, one of those things. He had reflux, which he put down to, again, just eating all the wrong sorts of foods and getting older. Finally being rushed to hospital with pains, which they thought was gallstones. So they were the main range over, I'd say, about a 2 year period, really, that he just kept going back to the GPs, to the hospital, not seeing them together as a specific underlying problem.
So nobody was making the connections?
No.
How did he handle it?
Brilliantly. He just said to everybody, no long faces here. You know, I'm living with, not dying from cancer. He was happy to share it with everybody. He didn't keep it a secret from anybody. He just determined to live life as long as possible, as full as possible. We didn't ask for a prognosis at the beginning. We tried to keep away from Googling everything, which is quite difficult. And it wasn't until the second lot of chemo failed that we then got the 6 to 8 weeks, and he survived another, I think, 3 or 4 weeks from that. He just wanted everyone to be aware that if they've got symptoms and it's not usual for them, not to do what he did, basically, which was just, you know, shrug it off, being a typical bloke, and pester your GP for an answer until you're satisfied.
More from Julie later on, but let's talk now to Ali Stunt, who's the founder of Pancreatic Cancer Action and a 10-year survivor of the disease. Good morning, Ali.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. How typical is the story that you've just heard?
Oh, sadly, extraordinarily typical. This is what we are hearing all the time. And our surveys from patients, their families, and also of the general population bear this out, including the government's own patient experience survey. We know that about 40% of patients see their GP at least 4 times or more before they get a referral for tests, which with this disease, it can be very fast moving. And when it gets going, time is of the essence, and sadly, a lot of patients are to-ing and fro-ing, going back to their GP, but nothing is being done.
I think we all know that with cancer, it's detecting it early is the most important important thing when it comes to beating it. I wonder whether you can tell me why pancreatic cancer is one that seems to be so difficult to detect.
Well, I think it is the nature of the disease. A lot of the symptoms, certainly very early on, tend to be fairly vague, and they are often confused with very other benign conditions like irritable bowel syndrome regular indigestion. And we heard Julie mention gallstones there as well. And a lot of people are misdiagnosed with lots of other things first. And it just seems to be that those things are investigated first, and pancreatic cancer is thought of as a last resort. So what we're trying to do at Pancreatic Cancer Action is to educate the GPs more about some of the warning signs, and to be much more aware of when a patient is presenting. And we have e-learning modules and training sessions for them, etc.
I suppose the other thing is you GPs wouldn't want to alarm patients either, would they? I mean, I don't have any facts and figures in front of me, but I would imagine that some of the things that they think is the problem are probably more common than pancreatic cancer. So you can understand why it's very difficult for GPs.
Undoubtedly, and I think possibly initially they're very right to go down that course. But you know, when you have a patient, especially one that's not often in the surgery, and men sadly seem to be the culprits in this. They don't tend to go to the doctor as regularly. You've got a rare attender who's suddenly in the surgery, maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, certainly 3 or 4 times over a sort of a 2 month period. That's got to raise alarm bells. And certainly when patients are telling them that symptoms that are really not normal for them and are persisting and maybe getting worse, they've got to listen to those patients and maybe investigate why they're happening.
So is it just a case of education then with GPs? Because, of course, they're not getting this wrong on purpose. I'm sure they'd like to be able to detect pancreatic cancer much earlier.
Absolutely. And, no GP wants to misdiagnose anything. And I know of some GPs who've been absolutely traumatised by the fact that they missed pancreatic cancer. But it's education is one thing, awareness is another. But, you know, one of the things that we have to do is to educate the general population to know when to go to their doctor, to know what symptoms to look out for. We know that in the east of England and the East Midlands, for example, only about 6% of the population there actually know what symptoms to look out for pancreatic cancer, which is very, very low, although the whole of the UK, the numbers are very, very low there as well. But we have got a big job to do. Only 70% of pancreatic cancer patients actually know about their... 70% don't know about their disease, and 70% don't know where their pancreas is, so we've got a big learning curve with pancreatic cancer. But there's also some system changes that need to happen. Most GPs cannot directly access CT scans, for example. So patients are being delayed by the fact that they have to be referred up to a specialist who then orders a CT scan. And that can be delays of weeks, sometimes, in the worst cases, of months. And patients just don't have that time. So we need to be able to trust our GPs to trust their instincts. And when they think a patient is fit for going up for a CT scan, they should be able to make that decision themselves.
And I suppose to finish with, you should educate us, really, Ali. You've mentioned there that people don't know the symptoms. I mean, we don't want to worry anybody unnecessarily, but what are the things we should all be looking out for?
Well, one of the key symptoms is abdominal pain or tummy pain, and that sometimes can radiate round to the back. People like myself, I suffer from back pain, and that is mid-back pain. It's not in your lumbar region, your lower region. It's where a lady's bra strap will sit, and that can radiate round to the front sometimes and can be relieved by leaning over. So if you've got patients that are sort of rocking backwards and forwards, you know, do look out for that. Indigestion, we all get that from time to time, but this is indigestion that is resistant to drugs that your GP has prescribed to. And patients who are finding that they've still got symptoms after a 4 to 6 week course, they need to go back to their GPs. If you find that your urine goes dark, or your skin goes yellow, or your whites of the eyes go yellow, and maybe you have itching associated with it as well, go straight to your GP. That is a sign of jaundice, and you need to be investigated straight away with that. So on the pancreatic cancer action.org website, we've got all the symptoms there and all the advice that people need to see whether they have pancreatic cancer, and hopefully the majority will not, but we want to make sure that we pick up the few that do early.
Yeah, well, we wish you all the best, Ali. Thank you for joining us this morning. Ali Stumpt, the founder of Pancreatic Cancer Action, a charity, joining us on the phone. And listening to that is Joan, who's given us a call this morning. Hello, Joan.
Good morning.
Because I think you want to tell us that actually, you know, it's